Everybody, welcome to My Movie Movies. This week, we are listening to an episode on the classic Christmas horror movie, Silent Night, Deadly Night. A lot of fun, really stupid. Follows the, I guess, Halloween textbook, but man, is it fun. This is also the last episode of 2023, so we want to thank you for all of your support. If you're not a member of the Facebook group, join the Facebook group. I will be posting some thank yous, some personal congratulations, all that good stuff from all those people who, you know, support us. And that includes you, our loving fans. And, you know, we're halfway through our 10th season, and we really appreciate everything you do. Thanks, everyone. Happy holidays and Happy New Year. And I hope all of you have a better 2024 than you did 2023. Thanks, everyone. Welcome to Myopia Movies. After a month at this point of, you know, Christmassy movies like Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, Rankin and Bass, Miracle on 34th Street, we decided to end December with a little bit of bloodshed. Happy New Year's, everyone. We watched Silent Night, Deadly Night. I'm your host, Nick Hoffman, Riffer on CineProv, and on panel we have
Land author Matthew W. Quinn. Tonight we're going to discuss the movie Billy, A Portrait of a Serial Killer, because this was a character study, not a slasher film.
Kiego, and I thought this was a Christmas movie.
Steve-O.
First of all, it was.
It absolutely was. Steve-O here to justify the war on Christmas.
And Charlie Rose. I have no quippy saying.
I don't usually.
No. Y'all all just really just rolled them out, and now I have nothing.
We had to step it up for this one.
This was glorious. Go on.
No, it's a blast. I will say too, there have been a lot of Christmas horror movies in the last few years, which is weird because this used to be the one. We have Jack Frost, which we mentioned in previous episodes. We have not done yet, where an evil snowman kills a bunch of people. We haven't done that one, or the one with Michael Keaton, which is also kind of a horror movie.
But it's a Christmas movie with Michael Keaton that's a horror movie.
Batman Returns. Exactly. Which we have done an episode on, actually. But then the last 2 years, 3 years ago, was Krampus. And then there was a movie starring the wrestler Goldberg, where he plays an evil Santa Claus called Santa's Sleigh. Maybe I'm making assumptions, but I don't know if a guy named Goldberg necessarily has a lot of the Santa mythos.
Oy Gewalt.
But this is kind of the OG Christmas horror movie, other than I guess A Christmas Carol, which is
What about Gremlins?
Gremlins is before. After this.
No, this is before Gremlins.
Yeah.
Or you might put it Gremlins.
But no, Gremlins. Hulk Hogan calls them Gremlins.
The Gremlins.
So before we get into the movie, did you read up on any of the scandal or like outrage regarding this movie?
Remember it was pulled from theaters early.
I did not. Enlighten us, please.
Yeah, it was a treasure trove, man. This was like insane. Like Siskel and Ebert ripped this movie apart. In fact, actually, apparently
they're allowed to be wrong every once in a while.
Siskel says that it was one of two movies that were completely reprehensible. This one and I Spit on Your Grave.
Wow.
Which, if you've seen I Spit on Your Grave, yeah, no. But basically, this movie, like, they were doing like primetime spots of this movie of this actual Santa Claus. And parents lost their mind.
Was it like outrageously people hyped up or misrepresented? Or
part of the problem is just the poster.
Yeah.
Like, because they're like, the poster is terrifying to children. And
it should be. They should not be seeing this movie.
Anyone think of the children?
We did.
I mean, that's the problem. That's where all the outrage came from. Because basically, parents lost their mind and were like, how can we explain this to kids? And I think the movie before it was released was pulled from three states.
I believe it.
And then after it was released, it was pulled like nationally within a week or two.
Yeah.
Within 2 weeks of it being released.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, but like just film history just for a second. Like most of these movies either made their money in the first 3 weeks or they just never made it. Like, yep. The weird thing about Star Wars was that it was in theaters all year. That just didn't happen very often. And so, like, now the idea that these films would just go straight to Netflix, live there forever, and be under a different tab
is weird, but that's how they get around it nowadays. Mm-hmm. So like last year, this time we released an episode on how the Grinch stole Christmas because there was a horror movie based on the Grinch called The Mean One. Kids weren't going to accidentally stumble upon that movie.
True.
Here, it was posters everywhere.
Right, like at the movie theater and the trailer, the movie trailer, like on TV. Mm-hmm. You know, our kids don't have commercials anymore. They don't have to deal with seeing movie trailers. I did notice on one of the free streaming channels, I don't remember which one.
Tubi.
Maybe it was Tubi, but one of our kids was watching like, I don't know, Garfield or something. And there was an Insidious trailer that kept playing. And I kept like, and I kept like trying to fast forward. And he was like, I saw it. It was creepy. I'm like, great. I have a little psycho.
Speaking of which, Garfield does have a cameo in this movie. He's in the toy store.
Oh, yes. Well, there's a couple Easter eggs in that toy store. But I...
There's also two Easter bunnies.
But
yes,
the thing is that the important part is that back then, I mean, going to video was actually where they started to make like real money,
right?
Because video rentals really have not changed in price at all. And when you figure inflation, that means that video rentals back in the 80s were insane. Buying movies in the 80s was insane. Mm-hmm. It was like an $80 affair to buy a movie. And they made ridiculous amounts of money in when this movie came to the video stores because it was a movie so like terrifying it had to be pulled from the theaters.
Yeah, right. I was terrified.
Banned in X number of states.
Well, and that's helped it sell even better.
And that helped it. Yeah.
Well, and again, like this is in the vein more rather than say John Carpenter doing Halloween or Wes Craven doing Friday the 13th or Wes Craven doing Freddy Krueger movies, right? Yeah. Nightmare on Elm Street. There's no class here. This is in the vein of like Sleepaway Camp where it's just,
oh God, yes.
Right? Like it is gruesome. I mean, previous episode, Killer Workout. It's up there. It's just pulpy nonsense.
Yep. Any opportunity to bring the shock factor, they will.
Pulpy would imply it was exciting.
I thought this was great. I know you didn't.
But... Oh, I thought you meant like with blood and like.
I mean, I do. When I think pulp, I think of cheap and graphic for no reason.
Yeah.
Right. Like the
Grindhouse, maybe.
Yeah, and the fact that he comes in like with an axe, electric guitar hit, like it's just like with an axe, and dude, when he goes at his boss with a ball peen hammer, like. Mm-hmm. a claw hammer because it's sticking out of his skull.
AKA Mr. Sims, AKA Hammerhead.
There you go.
Hammerhead.
Yeah, but it takes like 30, 40 minutes to get there, and it's mostly this traumatized kid getting screwed up by his mother's superior.
So I just looked up, like, because I also looked up the background of the controversy, and one of the quotes is that... most protests were generated by the feeling that the depiction of a killer in a Santa Claus suit would traumatize children and undermine their traditional trust in Santa Claus.
My goodness.
You gotta have a trustworthy Santa.
You can't undermine the integrity of Santa Claus.
I mean, you know, not that Santa Claus is built on a big lie, you know, that parents tell their children, but well, you know, hey.
But even past that, like, is he any less creepy than the Santa Claus from A Christmas Story? The drunk is like, oh.
Absolutely.
And then kicks
not.
The child in the face.
This is
like,
not.
I mean, it's not quite Billy Bob Thornton Bad Santa, but.
No. I will just say, because we're not going to do this movie this year, we will eventually. My favorite Santa on screen is the guy from Home Alone, who a kid comes up and goes, all I want is my family back. And his first thought is, hey, Tic Tacs, this kid needs Tic Tacs. Not like, I should tell someone about this. And then at the end of the scene, his car doesn't start. That's it. That's the movie. Home Alone's a great movie. This is also, similarly, a great movie. I don't feel like we need to do a full plot synopsis in this. A guy starts murdering people in a Santa suit.
You could elevator pitch this one.
They get into this character's whole backstory for the first third or more of the movie, before he finally goes into...
Would you like an elevator pitch, act by act?
Santa slasher rampage.
Yes, yes. Yes. Share your go elevator ahead, pitch.
Cold open. Clerk is murdered. Act one. Parents are murdered. Tits on the screen.
Sexual assault.
Sexual assault.
Act two. Childhood sucks. Tits on the screen. Spanking frenzy. Act two. We work at a toy store now. More tits on the screen. More murder.
More sexual,
more sexual, more assault. Sexual assault.
You can see where this is going.
Yes.
This is the film, everyone. And we
you forgot Grandpa, who's supposed to be senile. Oh, that's right. It turns out isn't actually senile. He's just been pretending so he can screw with his grandson.
Yeah, so let's talk about Grandpa for a second. Okay, so really how this
movie... No, we should start at the beginning. This is insane.
Okay, we got to start at the beginning. So then we'll get to Grandpa.
So how this movie really opens is a Quickie Mart type of interaction with, you know, the store clerk and a guy dressed as Santa who comes in and tries to rob the store. Store clerk tries to pull his own gun. Doesn't work. He gets murdered. Santa fucks off, right? And then we cut to Billy and family in the car going to visit Grandpa on Christmas Eve, right?
In the mental institution.
And the scariest part of this scene is the 70s decor in this.
The scariest part of the scene for me was the mom riding with the infant, just holding it in the front seat.
Right? That was like, I made that remark when
I remember my
slide,
grandparents like, doing that.
Man.
When I was little, real
me
little.
Me in my 30s, I think.
Some people in this room have not ridden in like the back of a truck in 1979, and it shows. I'm just saying.
Oh, no. I remember these
You
times,
forget
but...
that I am from Alabama, and Alabama is 10 years behind on everything.
Oh, that's true. So, 1989.
But you really...
I was an infant in the back of a truck.
Times change. I mean, the recommendation is that you sit in a car seat until you're 19 years old now.
Right, exactly.
So, carrying a child... You're right. That
Actually,
wasn't very...
I fell off a car one time because my mom was... was riding on the hood of a car and I was in her lap and they took a turn and we slid off the side.
On the hood of a car.
On the hood of a car.
These were different times.
This is Alabama. I'm fine.
This is how babies came home from the hospital. They were put in car seats. They were carried.
They were given a cigar, a cigarette, some chaw.
Virginia Slims, thank
you. Virginia Slims, yeah.
No. Anyway, sorry.
Sorry. Continue.
So what's the deal with Grandpa? Right.
Okay.
The family's visiting Grandpa Christmas Eve in the mental institution.
First, it's like a 5-hour drive. This is a long drive.
They're driving from wherever to wherever else on the other side. They drive past the Rocky Mountains twice in this movie.
Well, it all takes place in Utah, so there you go. That explains a lot.
This is a Mormon movie if there's ever been one.
So I think I missed the context. Is this properly Utah?
It takes place in Wasatch County.
Okay, so I think that's it's kind of important to this film, or at least to the atmosphere, the creepy atmosphere of this film, is that it's very like The Shining. It's very remote. It's very mountainous. It's very rural.
There's some shots out of this in the orphanage that are right out of The Shining, but we'll get here in a second. They visit Grandpa, who's on the other side of the planet from them on Christmas Eve, and Steve and I were talking about this. Why was it not the 23rd? Like, or Christmas Day. Because again, when you have kids, I get it. Christmas Eve is a big deal. Christmas morning is a big deal. After lunch on Christmas Day, that's kind of where is the day to them all. Visit Grandpa that day. But instead, on Christmas Eve, they take both of the children and they drive
to a mental institution.
And this is a mental institution in 1984. So we're talking some ugly shit right now.
Not even that. 71.
That's right.
It's the cuckoo's nest is happening in the next building over.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I wonder if they didn't electroshock Grandpa.
Meanwhile, Grandpa is an actor who looks like he should have been playing Santa Claus. And having not seen this movie, I was thinking, he's going to be the evil one who kills everyone.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah.
He's evil on a smaller scale. He's been pretending to be catatonic. Then when everyone else is away except for his grandson, he's suddenly like, hey, kid, you know, Santa punishes naughty kids. Then goes back to,
I know, exactly. That is some cruel stuff right there.
So this was the scene, though. So the parents leave, yes. And Billy's in the room alone with Grandpa, and that's exactly his reaction, is you think he's kind of mute and not with it, and suddenly he's lucid.
He cracks a smile, and he knows what he's doing. He's got a grin on his face.
Oh, and he's so creepy, and he's, you know, he explains to Billy that, you know, Santa punishes the naughty kids, and that stuck with him. And then we get back in the car, right, and we drive away from the mental institution.
Well, and the conversation is, are you excited about Santa coming? No, I don't want Santa to come. I mean, that's what's happening. You see this develop where this kid's like thinking, maybe Santa isn't great. And I want
the grandpa story. I want to know what happened to him.
Well, you know, they could have a Silent Night, Deadly Night prequel, you know, where grandpa gets like...
In the old country.
I want to see it.
In like the 40s, like, you know...
How Hitler in a Santa suit shows up at the orphanage.
But I want to see this.
How can you fake being that catatonic and then suddenly flip the switch like that? What's going on here?
So I'm going to just throw it out there. This movie is 100% Halloween, just at a different holiday. In one of the later Halloween movies, this is exactly what Jamie Lee Curtis is doing. And then she hides the medicine that they leave for her in a doll. Like... What this screams is someone was like, how are we going to give the kid the exposition? And they flipped to General Hospital. Mm-hmm. And there was someone with amnesia who all of a sudden terrified a child. And that was it. Because like this just screams like, and page two, maybe it's amnesia? No. Asylum. Like, we're just throwing out
anything. I mean, you have to expect that like stories of like the 60s and 70s and an asylum, I mean, wacky shit. So it's a great, great tool.
It fills the gaps, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And so Grandpa grabs this kid and says, like, you know, Santa's going to, like, fuck you up if you've ever sinned. And I told Steve at this point, this is a Mormon movie.
No.
Because Mormons believe if you're 7 years old, your sins are forever. And so this kid is being threatened. Like, the seven-year-old is
being... Once you become seven?
Yeah, once you become seven...
That was a Catholic thing. That's why First Communion was at seven.
No. Until you're confirmed, you're not beholden.
We'll get to the nuns later.
That's right. We'll get there. But regardless, for the Mormon church, it's seven. So that's why it's very specific and it's set in Utah. That's why I made the connection. Yeah. So the drive home, hilarity ensues. A guy, and we have to emphasize, this is the middle of nowhere, Utah, and there's like a Quickie Mart. I don't know how to describe it. But Santa comes in, and this the clerk is like, now there's one of you here, which, whatever. But there's Christmas music playing. He's ready for the Christmas season to be over. Which, again, I've worked retail around the Christmas season. We're all ready for it to be over. And this guy just pulls a gun on him and asks for the money in his cash register. And he immediately shoots this guy.
And he makes that with $20.
He's like, $34. I should have shot him seven more times.
And then his car breaks down. And that's when our mostly happy family comes across him and the shit gets real.
So this is what's interesting to me. Is we don't know what his motivation is. And we don't know what Grandpa's starting the cycle.
They don't have motivations.
Grandpa's describing the cycle of Santa murder. But we don't know... where the secret
Grandpa's motivation is to be creepy old fucker. Santa murderer.
Listen, creepy old fucker.
Okay. Santa murderer, his job is to be Santa murderer and traumatize his shop.
He didn't like, even
there is no depth to these he characters. Didn't even
he's just a robber and a attempted rapist. He's just a piece of trash.
So first of all, I'm gonna
He just happens to be dressed as Santa. That's what's funny about it.
Yeah, that's like, right. And I will make it clear here, first of all, he's credited as Killer Santa, which is a much better Santa title. And so we know him. The actor's name is Charles Diacop. He was in nothing we've done, but he's in some good movies, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. He's in The Sting. And he's in a movie, and this is just a question for all of you. This is a movie called Chinaman's Chance, America's Other Slaves. What year do you think a movie called Chinaman's Chance came out?
Well, flashback.
Didn't this, they have is a this is a leading question. The answer is 1999. It's got to be.
The answer is 2008.
21st century.
Didn't we have a whole conversation in Silver Bullet, in previous episode Silver Bullet, about what the expression Chinaman's Chance meant?
I do not remember that at all.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a conversation I would go into.
No, I would not. I would not bring it up. I would not... teach AP world history and talk about but I would also say that's why when Big Lebowski took place in 91, I think it's when it's set, and he says Chinaman, and everyone's like, ooh, they're really uncomfortable. 28 years before this came out.
Yeah. Yes. But anyway. So basically, this guy pulls, they pull over and they're like, oh, let's help the Santa man.
And the little kid and is the kid's like,
no,
no, don't stop.
I remember what Grandpa told me.
And the Santa comes to the window and they're like, oh, would you like a ride? And Santa's like, no. And he pulls out his gun. And it's like, what's the end game here? Are you going to like ask them to get out of the car so you can steal the car, etc.? No. He decides, I'm going to kill the dad.
Immediately.
I'm going to rape the mom.
But doesn't actually just rips her shirt off and then kills her. And that's it.
Well, and she, we like, assume. Well, she hits,
okay, I get it. Like,
or something. And then he gets mad and kills
he gets
her.
Mad. He angers her.
That's right.
And
she angers him. Also,
and I think she was probably mad too.
And she was a little mad too.
And he's hunting the kid, but we never see why he doesn't catch him. Because he's like skulking around with a knife saying, because, where are you, you little bastard?
Yeah, and so, but basically, yeah.
But
and
he also would have had to have taken the baby out of the car to drive away.
Yeah, those car seats were troublesome.
So we know he was at least...
So you don't know what happens.
He wouldn't kill a baby.
Yeah, and so...
Are you sure?
The real question is...
No, because he's in the movie.
They don't really explain where he goes... Or what happens, why he leaves the kids there, or how the kids are found.
I think he took the kids to the orphanage.
It's good on
him. Well, I mean, bless he was evil, and that was an evil play, so yeah, I'm trapped.
Some yin for your yang. So for those of you keeping score at home, we're up to 3 murders and 2 tits. We'll keep this rally going.
4 boobs.
And 1 sexual assault.
We're up to 4 already?
Oh, wait, no, two boobs on one person. Okay, 2 boobs. Yeah, you're right.
This podcast has integrity, so please keep me honest on my numbers.
It's two boobs, 2 individual boobs.
Sorry, they're just trying to ground in the station wagon.
Okay, so it flips now to the orphanage.
Okay, so end of scene. Billy's parents are dead.
Four years later.
4 years later. Billy's a young kid. Still a young kid. He's now, what, 12?
He's 13? A little...
I think he's 7.
Mulleted child.
No, but he was 7.
He was 5. He was 5.
I'm guessing he's about 9 or 10.
He didn't look like a 5-year-old to me. He looked like a 3-year-old to me, but when I read about it, he was 5 in that scene.
He looked much older than
they started five, smoking earlier.
Maybe that's because I don't like children and I don't believe
I have children.
But you are the expert here.
If I had to guess, he's probably around 9 or 10 at this point.
Okay, so.
Andy has a mullet.
In the, yes.
He's gone from small child to slightly larger child.
In the orphanage, it's 1979.
And where are his next of kin? That they just drop him off in an orphanage.
His brother's there with him.
That's right.
And basically it is every cliche of a, you know, orphanage run by nuns that you will ever have. I mean, they are, Mother Superior is like terrible. She's like trying to like, use her own method of psychology to get the kid over.
Well, Santa? You remember the quote she had? Something
forces
where...
him to sit on Santa's lap.
She denies that he even is traumatized.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
She doesn't even acknowledge that he was traumatized.
She doesn't believe
by Santa.
That children can be traumatized.
She doesn't think he remembers, even though he's drawing like violent Christmas art.
Also, it was only 3 years ago. Yeah. Like
the other nun was like, "No, I'm pretty sure he remembers." And it's like
this
the picture
of like
the Santa murder.
Santa decapitating.
And the Mother Superior's like, "Nah." There was a quote.
Sister Margaret, if you just see the efficiency of my... She said something along the lines of, like, if you just see
my methods,
how my methods will play out, right?
Well, then we'll see how her methods play out.
Yeah.
But yeah.
By the way, it's just, I wish we saw how those methods... She survives this fucking movie, and spoilers for a movie that is going to turn 40.
Next 2 years. No, next year.
84. So this comes 84. Out... This comes out a week before the year turns 40.
Okay, so basically, I think that entire... all you need to know about this scene is there's lots of punishment and there's lots of dialogue around naughty children get punished.
It ties
totally back to the whole Santa thing and naughty children get punished.
Right.
And with the kid just traumatized... begging saying, I'm good. Oh, right. Sorry.
She insists that he goes sit on Santa's lap and he freaks out and he punches Santa in the face.
And it's amazing.
And it's at one point, he's also
so much weight behind this. This kid is like 2 feet tall and he punches Santa so hard.
9-year-old.
He
yeah.
flies across the screen.
Wait, before I forget, I discovered something incredible. The grandfather here is old man Peabody from Back to the Future. When Marty goes back to the past and runs, he shot one of my planes and he shoots the shotgun.
Oh my gosh.
It's the guy, it's him. And you realize, oh, that's why he stopped talking. A time traveler destroyed one of his pine trees.
Yeah, you're trying to.
And
but
nobody.
That's thank you.
Write the fanfic, Nick. Write the fanfic.
First of all, I love old man act because Steve and I were talking about this. At a certain point, actors either have to be like, there's that middle period.
Old
right?
men or old women.
Right. And so you have the senator phase, and then you have the crazy old man phase.
Well, I mean,
and this is the crazy.
He totally has that extra on Little House on the Prairie look too.
Yes, he does.
Well, and the problem with this whole cast is if you look through the IMDb page of everyone, they've done like 10 things. Like they've all been typecast.
It's all the sequels of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually funny. One of the girls that gets handed the box cutter later, her only other credit is in a Halloween movie as a little girl.
So there you go. It does establish this scene, and at this point it's 1979. He's got to be, for everything to pan out correctly, he's got to be 13,
right?
Because 13 plus 5, 1984.
I really like how you're really like
the pins saying, the wall.
Yeah.
Just saying. Okay. So anyway, all they really do is establish that he's screwed up. He's got fucked up ideals about guilt and being naughty and what punishment is.
And he also was spying on some people having sex in an orphanage.
Well, and remember Mother Superior said...
Was it a nun?
Having sex,
I thought it might have been the nice nun.
The one that like kind of
takes were being
on.
Naughty. They were being naughty.
Well, and this is also to me where I got the most Shining vibes that you mentioned, because it's the all-white hallway. He's wearing a sweater. And it's like an over-the-shoulder shot of him walking down the hallway, panning around. And then we get a psycho shot. It's an Aaron Hitchcock shot. Mm-hmm. As you see through the keyhole, him watching just a great ass.
Teen Lover 1 and Teen Lover 2.
Nick is referring to the male
in
the scene.
It is.
We got to see
it's, up to like, four. It's what we see. And then all of a sudden we see like a boob for half a second. But... We do, like here, it's establishing that guys, they can look good too.
But more importantly, it establishes that sex is naughty.
No, sex is naughty.
Sex is naughty.
Because somehow the kid is the one who gets beaten for this.
Yeah.
Which is strange.
Well, because he was out of his room.
That's
so
right.
He shouldn't have been out of his room. So that was the...
Also...
Who knows what Mother Superior did to the other two off
they
screen.
They had a scheduled exorcism.
She whipped them.
No, she didn't do it.
She took, because when she, okay, so she breaks into the room, she breaks up the...
Yeah, she whips them in the room.
She breaks up the sakes, and she gets the belt off the guy's pants and starts beating wholesale ass with this.
Yeah. She did.
I mean, she
so
was,
they get spankings too.
She was not fucking around.
No, she was not. But again, it's an incredible scene. I want to know what the director told them, because there's nothing, it's insanity what's going on.
It's also interesting because like nowadays we have like intimacy coordinators, you know, and I guarantee there was none of that back then.
I think they came with intimacy coordinators because how messed up Game of Thrones was behind the scenes.
What do you need intimacy coordinators? Just grab those titties. That was it.
You need intimacy coordinators, otherwise Jason Momoa will beat the shit out of you.
Well,
did that happen?
He threatened to.
Oh,
well, there we go.
Yeah.
All right.
Look,
so
all the lovers in the
scene
changed
to 1984. It's about time, right?
Billy's all grown up.
Oh, well, he became a snack.
He did.
He got jacked.
He got sexy.
There's a very funny scene too where the nun is trying to get him a job at a department store, a toy store. And the guy's like, well, I'm looking for men. This isn't something a kid could do. And she's like, oh, yeah, you don't want a kid like this. And it pans like
and they
up
pan over
from the floor
like,
to the
like
top.
Glitter and extra bloom effects.
And he's like,
the female gaze.
He's like,
it was they did linger, and I did appreciate that.
They did. Muscly. Like, damn, Billy's looking
muscly
all right.
And blonde.
He's
and
18.
Mother Superior has been having him do all the chores.
Well, but also, no one else has aged. Like, the nun is the same age, Mother Superior is the same age, she's just now in a wheelchair.
Well, no,
she's
you don't, you actually
well,
don't...
Supposedly
you,
only yeah, 5 years.
You don't actually see Mother Superior again until the end of the movie, but you Sister Margaret's the redhead. She's the one we keep seeing, she hasn't aged a day. She was looking pretty good the whole movie, so...
Yeah, but again, it's only 5 years.
By the way, he's in future episode A Husband for Christmas as Kyle.
A Husband for Christmas...
As Kyle.
Well, there you go.
Wait, is that a real Christmas movie? Because I want to do that one. Like, nobody dies? Except, like, you know, if somebody's grandma dies or their mom dies and it makes them really sad and they move to a new town and they have to meet somebody. Like, in that sense, that's okay. But, like...
Now, you have seen probably more Lifetime movies than I have.
Probably.
It sounds like my kind of
the
Christmas
reason I
movie.
Throw it at, the reason I say I don't know is it does star Eric Roberts. So,
oh, he's like the king of Lifetime movies.
Yeah, but a lot of them are very creepy. The Stalk by My Doctor 1 through 12 or whatever. And Vivica A. Fox is in this one as well.
I want to be on that one.
We can do that one. You know, in 2026.
So anyway, I'm pleased. Back to this movie.
So cut back to
St. Mary's Home for Orphan Children.
So he has a job now at the toy store.
Yes.
And he actually seems well adjusted. Everything's going pretty great.
There's a montage. Yeah.
He's very
strong. Oh, actually, that montage was amazing. It was like some 1980s sitcom.
He's like adjusting.
It was like the opening sequence for a sitcom.
That was so sweet when he adjusted the magazines, when he saw the magazines.
And then boss like opens the door and he sees him and he's like, what a hunk, and then closes the door.
Yeah. No.
Seriously, it gave like vibes for like sitcom opening sequence.
This is a good point. For me to express my one like big issue about the movie is like the childhood.
Not enough breasts.
No, I think it has like plenty.
We'll keep up on the tally.
Yeah, we have a count going, so I think we're good on that. Sorry. It doesn't really have enough penises.
Ooh,
but
100%, you're definitely right. 100%.
But no, that was not my point. My point was like. Before kids, I could see anything creepy. I liked like creepy, like anything disturbing, like the worse the better, right? I was like, we had a movie group when I was in college where we would take turns finding the most messed up movie we could find and then watching it together and seeing how traumatized we were, and it would like never bother any of us.
Do you have any ones you remember in particular?
Oh, well, I told you about Funky Forest. That was one of them. Yeah. We watched a Serbian film.
Ugh. Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
That's a messed up film.
Yeah, it's a pretty messed up movie.
That's a very messed up film.
Those are the only two that I remember, but I've also seen Salo.
Sure.
So like, messed up movies are not outside of my wheelhouse. But what got me for this, and since having kids, I'm much more sensitive to this, is like, all of the childhood trauma, like child abuse and like childhood trauma. Like, I'm like, I have a hard time. If that were just not a part of the movie, and if they somehow explained his Santa problems without showing a small child see his family get killed and his mom almost be raped and all that, like, I would have appreciated it more.
It would have been easier if it was just a flashback.
I think this movie's not
right.
That
rather
deep.
Than the whole scene played out seven times.
Maybe. Yeah. But I think that was the only thing that I was like, ooh, that's like, that makes me...
Well, this is a horror movie. Isn't that the point?
No.
Well, no. This is very... 80s were a fun time, but they were also a problematic time. And this is an example of why the 80s were problematic, because they would lean into shock to carry some of these movies. And that's what's going on here. It's not that it's a horror movie. They leaned too much into the shock.
Yes.
Too many, like, you know, horrifying scenes, sexual assaults, etc.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I should also mention here, this is a ripoff of Halloween, but they got all the wrong notes. And that's why this... Because, like, when Halloween starts...
Does that happen in Halloween?
Well, the cold open of Halloween is Michael Myers in a clown costume, and his sister and her boyfriend are having sex. He comes in at the end and kills his sister. You don't see it. You see it through his eye holes of his mask. And then he walks out the building right as his parents show up. And he's and then they pan to the child. And they say, Michael, what's with all the blood? That's it. Right? Effectively.
Yeah. It's not this like narrative of a little baby boy who's just sad. And that's what like I was like struggling with while watching.
Because
like,
it's the kid who's immediately broken.
Yeah.
There's no childhood trauma.
Yeah.
He's already broken from the start. And also it's not a sexual assault. It's consensual sex between his sister and the boyfriend, but he doesn't understand it. So he kills them. That's the difference. And so again, the director / screenwriter of this took all the notes, but just got everything wrong other than we need tits in the first 6 minutes. But right?
I think it's still an interesting narrative. Like for me, this movie is about, and it's really tragic because Billy, like spoilers, Billy dies, right? He never gets better. And like for me, this film is really about like a tragic state of mental health.
Yeah. I felt that way.
Like, also, there are long stretches of time where you're just like, so do they just not watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade? Or does he like throw shit like, oh my God, it's Rankin and Bass. And he starts throwing stuff at Rudolph. Like, how does this kid survive to be 17?
Well, maybe they thought that he was fixed. Emotions.
Well, no, I would say.
I feel like every year it probably has to come up. But like, he seems so sweet. Like, so what made me think of that is like you said, you know, he sees that the magazines are askew and he fixes them. Like he's like well intended. He means the best.
Yeah. That's the thing. This montage, everything up to this point.
Yeah.
He's like appearing like, I have healed my trauma. I have self-healed. I have moved past all this. And then they ask him to step in.
Ascent.
But you already know that he's struggling when he snaps at the coworker.
Yeah. They unroll the banner and it says Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
They start putting up the Christmas scenes.
I would just love it if this was a two-hander with Halloween and Halloween happens and he's the nicest guy around and like fires and we're like throwing thumbs up as he's hanging up the mask from Halloween 3. You know, previous episode. But
like
10 more days till Halloween.
Actually, I don't know how many days it is until Halloween. Usually I do because we have,
it's a lot.
Alexa, I'm not going to say it.
Alexa.
But you're going to make everybody's
Alexa,
you are a jackass.
Alexa, what's the weather?
Play the next episode.
Alexa, go to Matthew W. Quinn Amazon page.
Not gonna work. You gotta tell them to do something. Audio.
Oh my God!
Subscribe to Myopia Podcast.
Alexa, order cat food.
There you go. See, that's classic.
Okay.
Anyway, so but she can also
Alexa,
tell you how many
my
days.
Internet history allowed.
Okay.
She can tell you how many days until Halloween, and that's something that my kids do very frequently. So like. I did know it, but I think we're probably around 80 days.
You got to keep you honest.
Yeah. So anyway, back to this movie. If we don't get back on track, we never will.
No, yeah. We won't. So
back on the sleigh.
Ira's Toy Store, as it is.
Yeah, Ira's Toy Store.
Yeah.
He steps in for Santa.
Yes.
And he is not happy.
No.
You can see him starting to break.
Well, this is because okay, so Mr. Sims was asked to be Santa. But Mr. Sims is a lazy man.
He doesn't want to be Santa. But surprisingly, he makes it through by only making the children mildly uncomfortable.
Oh, dude.
Which this
that
is actually
one little girl that he effectively grabs by the lapels and goes, you're not going to be naughty. You're not going to be naughty.
He's like, I'll punish you if you're naughty.
That's true.
And I thought this was actually a really good scene.
Yeah.
This movie was like peppered with like bullshit scene, good scene, bullshit scene. And this was like actually one of the good ones. And the moms are all on the sidelines going like, man, he's got away with kids.
He's so good with them.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah. He's going like, don't you dare.
But she makes it through. He makes it through the day. They shut down and they have a party.
Yeah,
and that's where it all goes wrong.
We should just mention just for a second here the characters that work in this toy store because they're going to become important. So the nun introduces us first, like you said, to Mr. Sims. Mr. Sims is the owner. I guess he's Ira Sims because it's Ira's toy box or whatever his name is. he was in previous two episodes of Weird Science and The Last Starfighter.
Good for him.
Yeah. And he's also in one of my favorite...
he's a character actor.
John Candy. He's in The Great Outdoors with the Great 76er. But anyway, you have the older woman who's like the accountant. She's kind of around. Mrs. Randall. Thank you. And then you have the two other people who are effectively Billy's age.
Pamela and Andy.
Yeah, Pamela is basically like, she just checked out.
She's
Andy's clearly... the manager. Andy. He's like a manager above.
Yeah.
Well, Andy's a dick.
Andy's a dick.
By the way, Pamela played by Tony Nero and Andy played by Randy Stumpf.
Stumpf. What a great name. Ding, ding,
they win. Their pictures are on IMDb are of them getting murdered in this very movie.
Good for them. And they're like horrible. Like, those aren't even good murders. Like, we'll get to some good ones. These are really awful ones.
Well, okay. So at the end of this, they have a Christmas party. And Steve and I were just, in general, I mean, I work at a Catholic school. So we have like legit, very nice Christmas parties. Our last one was at a distillery. There was a band. There was food. It was lovely. But there is something to be said about this one where the Jambi scotch is just at crotch level the entire
way.
Right under the register.
And it's room temperature. There's not ice to be seen.
Jambi flowing. Everyone gets drunk.
Well, and Mr. Sims even says, he's like, by the end of the night, you're going to think you really are Santa or something like that.
Exactly. Well, and he goes, and tomorrow the Christmas shit is coming down.
Doesn't he literally say, like, at 7 o'clock, he locks the door immediately. He's like, let's get shit-faced.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, he said, I was thinking that would be, like, a good gif, you know, where he's like, they're gone. Let's get
shit-faced.
Dude, if someone could put that together for me, that's what I'm posting the first day of Christmas break as a teacher.
I feel like that was very, very relevant.
There's six bottles of liquor for five people and a bag of Lay's potato chips. That's it. Like, he pulls out
that's
all
the
these
Christmas
bottles.
Party.
And by the way,
I mean, if you work at a toy store, it seems legit.
It seems to be sufficient.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, if you're at a Toys R Us and it's December 24th or whatever, that's the first thing
you've
you do.
You've probably seen some shit.
Yeah.
You're like shaking your head. Like, you're holding the whiskey. You're just like, I've seen things.
Exactly. So anyway, everyone gets drunk.
And Billy's not comfortable with drinking.
Not comfortable with drinking. But he walks in and he sees, Andy and
Pamela
get into it. And apparently... Andy's being a little frisky.
Yeah, they're not getting to it. Andy is like...
Andy's being a little rapey.
All she's saying is, Andy, no, stop. I want to go back. No. She's not...
Andy's getting a little rapey, as you put.
Well, let's start out nice. They go... No, because it's not like he grabs her.
That's what
Andy
said, too.
They go into the back room, and it seems like it's going okay. And we get one of my favorite lines, which is, I have a present for you. And he goes... Where is it? He goes, it's in the back room. He goes, you don't have anything. It must be pretty small. But then it's after that where they're making out and he wants to go farther and she doesn't. And then it becomes very aggressive.
And guess
quickly.
What happens, guys? He rips her shirt open.
And we have, what do we have, Steve?
We're up to at least, no, we're up to six tits
six,
now.
Six.
And by the way, bras have not been invented in 1984.
Absolutely not. No one wears bras in this movie.
No, they don't. Absolutely not.
And
I think it was around here where I texted my wife and I was like, I think every female actress in this movie shows their breasts. And we're
Mother Superior's like...
by the way, if Mother
She really wanted those prayer beads... At Mardi Gras, so Mother Superior, she's being carried on the wheelchair.
If Mother Superior tore off her top and had incredible breasts, this is the greatest movie that's ever been made. Like, and it's not even like, it's just like, that was a twist. I didn't, like, bravo. Bravo.
Bravo.
But, like, anyway, so, but meanwhile, Santa is in the background. Billy here as Santa is in the background.
having a Nom flashback.
He's literally
he's
turning into the Incredible Hulk.
I mean, like, you're right.
And he's like sweating, and he's flashing back to, it's showing what is it showing?
It's showing his parents.
His mother's tits.
Oh, he's
because
saw,
that's what
it
you're
the
gonna,
boobies.
Like,
the boobies.
I think earlier in the movie, Billy had a fantasy about Pamela that gets interrupted by Stabby Santa.
Oh, that's true.
And his mother's tits.
That was actually one of the scenes. That scene where he's dreaming that he's making out with Pamela, and Santa slices down his back.
Yes.
That scene was one of the scenes that they cut to get the R rating.
Right, because it went much further.
Yeah.
I will say, too, I had no idea, because we've already had one flashback, so I thought they were flashing back to the scene where he was peering through the keyhole. Because it's established
yeah,
the same
it's,
way.
Yeah, it's set up the same way, but it's him.
And
it was Oliver.
Steve goes, no, that's another badass. And I was just like, right.
This ass is way hairier.
It's a different movie. It was.
Yeah, there is some hairy man ass.
It's like
in
the
this.
Melding of all of it. It's like my parents getting murdered.
They were.
And then this lady and these dudes are banging. And then my parents are banging these other dudes. And then there's tits and
boobies.
Stabbing. And then. And then, but this, like, the acting is great in this scene. Like, kudos to Billy. Like, he really pulled off the, like, fuming, like, sweaty, like nerd.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he nailed it. So, Billy's reliving all of this.
And it was Santa who kills him in this, right?
Santa?
In the sex scene where he wakes up. Who kills him?
I think it's Santa who attacks him. Yeah.
So, anyway, he sees Rapey Andy going off. And decides that he needs to act.
So Billy's relived all the trauma. It's
exactly.
all come to the
Isn't
surface. And he's ready for action now.
And he grabs the lights.
Christmas light. Because it's funny, because he could have been a hero in this scene. And just
he
stopped
could have, He could have just pulled Andy off of her and like ended it. But no.
Because he's a foot taller than little Steve
I mean,
over here.
Yeah, there was no way that this guy could have stood up to him. So he uses the Christmas lights to choke this bitch out.
They don't make Christmas lights like they used to.
No,
probably that's probably why they don't make them like they used to.
So he kills him, and of course, Pamela's like freaking out. You killed him.
She's not even grateful.
Yeah, how dare she not be grateful?
How dare you be a crazy man?
And so,
and she's still just yelling at him with her tits out, which is incredible.
And so he decides that's too much stress.
So how does he respond?
Yeah. Well, so this was the problem for me, because I was like, okay, Andy's naughty, like he gets it, but Pamela, like,
what did she do?
And at that point, it's just her like back talking.
Yeah,
and he's just crazy at that.
Yeah,
point.
The
logic is gone. But
yeah, everyone's like a naughty sinner.
Yeah,
right. He's not Batman, right? Like he's been pushed off the deep end. So there's no distinction between naughty and nice
anymore.
Everybody's naughty.
Isn't it right now that the point at which he starts screaming punish when he kills
her? So he's just gonna pick up a wrench, like,
so
fuck,
kills her.
That's right. Like box cutter, just like right up the sternum.
Yep, with a box cutter. And then of course they're both dead. Now, was it Mr. Sims walks into the back?
Stumbles into the back,
stumbles
please.
Back, drunk as you can get.
Well, because he's going to go score with that other woman, because she's like, what's going on back there? You should go check it out. And
they are.
That was really good. I'm sorry.
Really drunk. You're the betrayal of the
drunk. Your drunk girl
is amazing.
Like, it's incredible. He's like, what's going on here?
So Sims goes into the back. And of course,
this is the claw hammer to the skull, dude.
It's hammer time,
hammerhead,
dude. My goodness, and because he sees like, oh my god, look at those dead tits, and then he gets stabbed in the skull. Well done, Billy.
Cut to a box, a little bit of brain splatter.
And by the way, we get like someone throwing chunks at a wall, and then I turn to around here. I think maybe it's a little later, but around here, I turn to Steve. I'm like, oh, Santa. The suit's red, so no one sees the blood. And they don't bother with this, but I was like, so smart.
It's funny because these first three deaths go super fast. Super
quick.
Okay. The minute that they interact with him, they die.
Yeah.
Then it's the count of
Miss Randall.
Miss Randall. Now that's an extended like cat and mouse thing. She's running through the store.
She's trying to call the police.
She's trying to call the police. It's this one that they tried to string out and make into more of a classic killer on
slasher,
the loose.
Yeah.
This is where we learn that Billy's weakness are cardboard boxes. Yes. Because she's like
pushes over four cardboard
boxes. And he's like, oh man. And she like knocks him down. She could have grabbed the weapon. And this is
where she does. She tries to cut Bash out of the store with the axe.
She does, but she then gets killed with a bow and arrow.
A toy bow and arrow. So well, Billy must be.
This is she's at the door. She's almost getting out. And then the bow and arrow.
A toy bow and arrow.
This was this was absolutely my favorite kill.
Well, a toy bow and arrow in the 80s.
That's true.
It's probably
And we grew up in the era of the lawn darts.
Like I was gonna say, like any other movie, it would have been a lawn dart thrower.
That's true. That would be good. Yeah.
And then she lands in the nativity or whatever the Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. And Santa is like looking down on her.
It's incredible because yes, it is a Rankin and Bass Santa like going.
This was a fun scene though because the lights go off and all the Christmas toys turn back on and she's oblivious to everything happening in the back and she's like, Mr. Sims, come out. It's a Christmas miracle. So I love this scene. I mean, it was just so cute.
This was the perfect classic, like, you know, slasher on the loose, the woman trying to evade him. Outstanding. Great. Grade A kill scene. Loved it.
Well, and also the interpersonal relationships. Any other Christmas, she gets nailed by Sims. And it's the a Christmas miracle. It's so funny because she has her little hat on. She's on the prowl.
She wanted it. She
was so into this Christmas.
Oh, and in the Nutcracker screaming.
Dude, that's when right. She gets killed and it cuts to the Nutcrackers with its mouth like, and you just.
It was beautiful.
A second unit director had all the fun in the world on this movie.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Actually, I read that one of the producers, had to leave for some of the scenes.
Actually, it was the main director. He couldn't handle all the gore. He was too screaming. So
he was like, look, I really support this movie, but I just
cannot. One of the principal editors took over.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. IMDb factoids.
Do a brutal murder scene. I want to see it. But.
Yeah. But
I want others to see it.
So he leaves. And of course, you know, Sister Margaret's like going to check on poor little Billy. Oh, there was a scene earlier. Sister Margaret calls to Billy to wish him a Merry Christmas. And she talks to what's his name in the back?
Andy. He's like, oh, he's doing the Santa thing.
He's like, oh yeah, he's been promoted to Santa. He's portraying the Santa. And she's like, shit's gonna get real. So she immediately rushes there. By the time she gets there,
Everyone's dead.
I feel like that would have been like a helpful like factoid to be like, hey,
by the way,
you know, maybe just don't have him on during.
Go easy on Christmas.
So for those of you who keep your track at home, by the time Sister Margaret arrives on the scene, we are up to, let's see.
Four
deaths in the toy store. Parents are dead, that's two. Plus one. Seven deaths and six boobies. So we're booby fans. You're falling behind.
Thank God it wasn't like seven boobies.
So
seven boobies.
It's like literally the Simpsons line.
You know how many boobs I've seen? 13.
Billy's on the prowl, looking for more naughty folks. Okay,
that's right.
He's still obsessed with this whole naughtiness and punishment.
Okay, this is where the movie goes kind of off the rails.
This is where it gets really weird.
And this is
where it actually becomes a slasher movie.
Well, and this is also full Jack Torrance. He's walking down the road, holding an axe, not saying anything.
This is beautiful. You can tell he's had a complete break from reality.
Yeah.
But there's intent behind all the murders up until this point.
Yeah.
And now we're just cutting to random people having dinner and then getting decapitated.
Around this point is when Matt texted me and he goes, oh no, carolers, I think he's triggered. Just like,
So he's wandering around creating chaos and like scaring people, okay? That causes the cops to start to be aware that there's a problem.
This was weird for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, like, there was this weird scene where, like,
A Santa is going into
Santa sneaks into a little girl's bedroom and is looming over her bed, about to touch her.
And cops open the door, and she's like, Daddy?
Like,
the cops just barge through the front door. And
you would think the wife would say,
oh, Dad was just going to surprise her.
But then you're like,
what was Daddy doing?
Why was Daddy doing that?
Look, think
of Daddy has about as bad judgment as the dad from Gremlins who fell down a chimney.
Same wavelength. Yeah. I had exactly the same.
Steve and I looked at each other.
I was like, what was Daddy doing?
Let me just
Why did the wife not warn the
cops? She didn't know.
The cops didn't.
She said something like, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. It's like she didn't know what was going on. So like, it's like creepy as hell. Okay.
The cops just run right in. I don't know why this scene was
in this movie, but it creeped me out.
At least they didn't open fire 30 times.
Listen. This scene was in the movie to paint a depiction between Officer Barnes and these officers, right? If Officer Barnes had shown up on the scene, Dad would be dead right now.
We're going to come back to Officer Barnes later.
You would have shot him on the ladder.
Beautiful. Chef's kiss. Right there. Okay, so.
No, but it's still weird. And I wonder if it's to create the question that we're like, oh, that's a good Santa.
No, I think it's what you said earlier, which is this movie was so dark because this is supposed to be hilarious, right? Because you have the two silly cops.
This is the comic relief.
This is comic relief. Yeah. This is supposed to be comic relief. But that was not a comic relief scene. No. I mean, it's like the scene in Halloween 2 where the guys show up and then they accidentally kill a kid dressed up like Michael Myers.
Yeah.
It's not funny. It's weird.
I felt that way in Jaws, actually, with the scene with the kids wearing the...
Right, and they have like 70 guns pointed at
them. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm like expecting another shark attack. This is not funny for me. Like.
So anyway, he shows up at this house where these two teenagers are making out.
On the pool table.
That's not hygienic.
Denise and... somebody.
And then there's the girl. I'm guessing they're Denise and the boyfriend are babysitting.
The girl, Denise is babysitting.
Denise and Tommy.
I'll take that.
And they're both not wearing a shirt.
Right.
And
what's the boob count now?
The boob count is now
8.
Are we up to 8?
I think that's it.
We got to Denise on the pool
table. That's it.
Yeah, we got to Denise up to the pool table.
That's all the boobies, right?
We're up to 8. That's actually it. Yeah.
So she goes...
We get extended Denise boob time.
She hears a bell, and she says, that's the cat trying to get in.
So she goes to let the cat in.
She puts on her ridiculous Daisy Dukes, but no shirt.
So she's walking around house with another little kid running around topless.
And that's the thing. She goes upstairs in the middle of winter, in a suburb, just opens the back door and is like, here, kitty. Shirtless, boobs out, wearing her Daisy Dukes.
Boobs akimbo.
It's just like, seriously.
She was asking for it.
So anyway, just as the cat comes in, she's shutting the door. All of a sudden, Billy with the axe.
I also just love that the director's like, let's misdirect them. What if it actually is the cat?
Oh, no.
For sure.
This was the Shining scene, right? Because he axed through the door.
Yeah, the cat comes in, but he lunges. She shuts the door and starts screaming, and he axes through the door.
Why didn't she lock it? And then because it turns out that she lives in a Japanese, the sliding paper door.
I know.
That door,
two hits, and it was gone.
This wasn't The Shining where the axe actually leaves, an axe-shaped, hole in the door. Four panels exploded off.
Exactly. It was 84, so it would have been I want my MTV! And then it cuts to
Yes. Well, and that house was the most 80s house that ever
I loved it. All the wood paneling.
Tiger painting.
Oh, yeah.
The tiger painting was great.
That velvet tiger painting above the pool table.
Yeah.
Cast iron railing down to the basement.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was also a log cabin scene, but in oranges and browns that I'm pretty sure I had some, I think my family
had one of those. Exactly. And of course... Top and of course, shot, the deer
mounted and stuffed.
Oh, on yeah. The Sorry, wall. I had forgotten about the deer.
How can we forget about that deer? Now?
Okay, so I want to say something really quick.
I mean, that was at least an 8-point buck.
It was a big
I noticed at least two.
Well, remember the two lower ones. And then, of course, there was like the rest of these.
Oh, yeah, there were more.
There were more up
you're
there.
Right. You're right.
I mean, there had to be two to like create a shelf of sorts.
Yeah, for what is to come.
What is to
come. Okay, so Steve and I watched one of the Arrow restored versions of it.
Oh, okay.
I will mention
I would
this.
Love to see that in like ultra 4K.
The problem is there's not a clean copy of this because it kept alternating between beautiful, crisp, clear, and then like a VHS.
Like, it's just like
rainy,
they spliced
weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is hilarious.
So this happens, and it all of a sudden cuts to a bootleg of a bootleg of a bootleg, and he grabs her like by the waist. Lifts her up,
her tiny
and,
little
like he's gritting his teeth, and then through like just below her rib cage, you just see these little points, puncture of the horns. Just bravo!
Yes, just previous bravo. Episode,
and she is hanging from but, that box.
But when head. We come back, to the boyfriend comes back and sees it. That's back in 4K.
Yeah,
and so,
that's
like,
right.
Just like the breasts are perfect, the hair's akimbo, but the boyfriend's like, like hiss.
He's well, like, and I want to point out something because this is the most 80s thing about this movie. She, of course, did not put on a shirt to go upstairs, but they had him put on a shirt.
That's right.
They did. And after the boxes, this is the closest we get to knocking him down because he gets.
Well,
Santa gets taken down
with a fire poker.
And he puts up a good fight.
And we have yet another example of an actual like fight, a chase.
Yeah.
And it's between the boyfriend and Santa.
And he also tries to call the police.
Yes. He does. And he fails.
He fails.
Yeah.
And again, this is Hoffman's advice corner. If someone's attacking you, you don't stop hitting them.
Yeah.
You don't hit them once and be like, that takes care of that. And then walk off because that always goes poor. You just keep hitting them because every time someone gets advantage of Santa until the end, which is an incredible scene. He gets back. And so, Horn Dog gets killed here.
Yeah. They're fighting and he chucks him out the window.
Yep.
And
while screaming, like, punish.
Impaled by a large piece of glass.
I think that was the best part.
So much glass. Like, it looks like he went into a skull.
He screamed, punish.
And then we cut to him in the snowbank, and there's a shard of glass the size of a coffee table sticking out of his stomach. And it's just like, well, he's super dead.
Super dead.
He is super dead. And you know what? Great. Nailed it.
So now we're up to 9 kills. And 8 movies. So we officially eclipsed.
And it's Christmas morning.
And Cindy Lou Who finally makes an appearance.
The little girl. The little girl.
Oh, we can't forget about the little girl.
Oh
because,
my God, that scene is
because,
amazing.
So after he has wreaked havoc in this house, Denise babysitting the little girl who didn't want to go to bed, the little girl comes down and she sees Santa.
Yep.
And she's like, Santa. And he's like, have you been good? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, are you sure?
Have you done anything naughty?
And she's like, yeah, no. I've been good. And then he slowly reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a box cutter.
The bloodied box cutter.
And he gives it to her as a gift.
Yeah.
And she's like,
and she's like looking at this one.
What the fuck is that? Now you're an accessory.
And this is where I thought they were setting a really cool scene for her to be the next.
Yeah,
I would have been like, if she was Santa's little helper, like if she's Zooey Deschanel from Elf.
It never happened. She's never been to anything since. She lived a normal life after this crash.
Yeah, and then she's just like, good for Denise? Her.
She's not a cult kid? Great.
Yeah, that's right. He leaves the house, and of course you hear her in the background going, Denise?
Yeah.
Denise?
She's an accountant somewhere.
Didn't you guys watch Hannibal? Like
the TV show,
yeah, not the movie.
Show.
I feel like that death scene reminded me a lot of the TV show Hannibal, with Hannibal trying to create these artistic death scenes.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Actually, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like this movie is really messed up. Like, I wonder how many, like, serial killers got, like.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, have you ever seen Sleepaway Camp?
No.
My sweet summer child. How do I just,
the 80s has a treasure trove.
I didn't know these
really
things were, like, mainstream. I've only seen, like. Like underground weird.
No, I mean, there's movies. Well, first of all, Serbian film is not underground. Everyone knows about it. They just don't watch it. But there's 1,000 of these. The ones we're talking about are the ones that have gotten like cult status. So, what's your favorite death from Sleepaway Camp?
Favorite death? They're all. I love all my children equally.
There's one where someone gets this curling iron shoved up their vagina. Which would not kill you because they come back in the sequel, but it's really it's in silhouette, and there's a curling iron, and the woman like oh, and then it's really it's a very strange movie.
This look again, horror in the 80s, they leaned into shocking. They just, that was horror to them.
I feel like there aren't any modern, which I don't watch, so like I like horror movies, but I can't watch them like by myself at night. Like I get scared. So I don't watch them a lot. But I feel like there aren't any modern movies that are as like messed up as this.
No.
Are there?
There are, but you're thinking about it differently in that this is still a movie. A lot of the horror that's messed up nowadays is torture porn, and those aren't movies. Those are just set pieces to be intentionally gruesome. Like the latter Saw movies, like Hostel, like Insidious, like those are movies that are just like, we're setting up a scenario, we're going to be as graphic as possible, and it's all artificial. This is still trying to create a narrative.
Well,
it's a ripoff of a ripoff of a ripoff, but this is still a story.
Yeah, you know? And even movies like Midsommar come a little bit closer to this.
Yes, okay. Those are elevated.
Yeah, but it's like next level, and it's telling a moral story or some weird tale. This is just, we're trying to,
they're just like straight up. Yeah,
well, when I'm teaching like the Puritans, for example, in American history, I say they would recognize slasher movies. Why? The people who drink and have premarital sex die. Sin equals death, and it's horrible because that's what the Puritan plays were.
Yeah,
when you're talking about torture porn stuff like, you know, Hostel or Passion of the Christ, there's no morality there.
Hostel or Passion of the Christ.
Anything with Jim Caviezel is not worth watching. But but like that's what it's doing. It's being graphic for no purpose.
Yeah.
That's not the same kind of thing. That's almost like when you're watching, like you could skip all of Saw until you see the experiments because you're like, well, how are they going to do this one? And now that there's Saw 10, the resawing or whatever nonsense that is, who could give a shit? But at least when you're watching that first season of Dexter, there's a purpose there. When you're watching this, it's not clean cut. And again, it's a photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy. But he's still killing the people he sees as sinful. It's, when you're talking serial killers, it's the less dead, the people who kill like prostitutes or things. It doesn't forgive them. It's just saying they have a purpose. There's a plot here. Some of those later movies, there's no plot. I don't need to see anything Eli Roth does ever again. I'm fine. I mean, I get creeped out enough watching something by Rankin and Bass. And I'll watch this again come Christmas. I'm telling you. This was fun. So we should get to the end of it. The next morning, Jack Torrance shows up at the orphanage after they fucking kill Santa in front of a bunch of kids.
That's the best part. That's the best part.
Yeah.
It's like, they're saying like, okay, we know where he...
So the nun has clued the cop in. She's like, I know where he's going to go. He's going to go to the orphanage. So they're like booking it. A little girl left the phone off the hook.
Yep.
So they can't get in touch with him. So they're trying to get to the orphanage. And they come up and they see a Santa approaching the kids. Oh, and they say,
standing five
stop,
feet away.
Stop.
Before we enter the last act, we're missing the best murder of
all. Oh, the sled.
Oh my God, yes. Sled. Go, sleigh.
Is it a sleigh or a sled?
Yeah,
I don't know.
We're still Christmas Eve, right? Before the whole murder spree is done. And we cut to the scene with a couple of like adults basically sledding, right? And they're so gleeful, they're ready to sled. And this is where I thought the movie had jumped the shark. Because I'm like, okay, like, we're just cutting around randomly to people in the middle of the fucking woods doing nothing. So these two kids are getting ready to have some fun sledding. And some bullies show up and say, hey, nerds, get the fuck off your sleds. We're taking them.
Well, and one of the kids, one of the kids who's getting stolen, he says, oh man, you're gonna take our sled. You're gonna take our sled.
I know. It's like clearly 25 year olds pretending to be like 16. It's amazing.
I loved everything about this scene. These two guys show up, they give these kids wedgies, they like give them the boot, they take their sleds. And then
we should just for a second. These are two stereotypically Jewish kids.
Yeah.
And then these two Aryans show up. These blonde, tall guys show up. Goes, give us your sleds! And he's just like, all right, Himmler, sit down.
And they knew they already had an R rating, and they're like, well, how many F-bombs have we dropped already? Let's just get a few more in there. Like, that's what it felt like in this scene. They're like, you fucking nerds, give us your fucking sleds. We're going to go for a fucking ride. And they did. And they had fun.
And this guy's like,
literally, like, threw his arms up and giggled all the way down the hill. It's like,
yeah.
Up this slant. Like, this is the smallest little incline. Like, it's just like, whee!
Yeah. I mean, it's not even an impressive sled. Sled track. I mean, you're just like, really? Okay, fine.
So the first guy goes down just fine, and then the second guy, all of a sudden, Santana goes boo and
goes. He goes punish, and he swings that axe perfectly to cause the head to pop off,
slices right off,
and but the body to stay put and to ride the sled all the way down. And his friend is at the bottom going, yeah. And he's seeing him sled towards him. And then he comes out of the darkness and he has no head.
This scene is hilarious.
And then the head rolls out after him. And you're just like, oh my God.
To quote the website, I'm not allowed to quote anymore. This crosses the line twice. Like he's the head just shows.
This was my favorite murder in the movie.
I have to admit, this was absolutely
this movie is this scene is hilarious.
No purpose. It's like, have we killed enough people to really cast
it? No. The purpose it was to make sure it was feature length because the movie
is struggling to get to 80
minutes.
Guys,
we filmed all our big scenes and we're 10 minutes short, so.
Yeah, it's like, oh crap, we're only in an hour? Let's do another like murder scene.
But also, it must have been like a bodysuit with a little person or something because the sled is still steering down the hill.
And these guys, like, to their credit, like, they're putting their hands down. They're, like, re-guiding these sleds, like, all the way. These guys are working hard to get to the bottom of this hill, but, boy, they were loving it.
Like, the best around is playing in the background. Like, oh, dude. And also, I guess his buddy survives because we don't see him die.
Yeah, that's it.
You never see any of these guys.
Well, he was at the top of the hill, right? So he just kept walking. He didn't.
Yeah,
he
kept going. Yeah. But so anyway, we're now at the.
So now we're in the final act.
We're in the final act.
We're at the orphanage.
There's a Santa standing in front of the kids when the cops pull up.
Okay, right. Because the drama is, was it Sister Margaret? Someone reported like, Billy's.
Yeah,
he's look for a Santa.
Basically. Yeah, she went to the cop station. She said, "Look. It's Billy. I know where he's going to go. He's going to go to the orphanage because Mother Superior was a total bitch, and he's going to go kill her."
We should mention that the way that they figured this out is she's asleep on a bench, and McGruff the crime dog shows up. It's like this guy. He's wearing like a brown suit. He's like, "So what do you think's going to happen?"
He's drunker.
And she goes, "You know, in movies like this, there's usually a plot. There should be a theme." And he's like, "A theme that would make sense." And she goes, "I know where he's going." It's like as though she was like, "Do you remember your lines? Because you should know where this is going to happen." And it's back at the orphanage.
Yep.
And at the orphanarium, we see this guy who just shows up and starts shooting Santas, which is amazing because
the cop shows up, murders the Santa.
Well, they tell him to stop. They say stop, and then they shoot him.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they don't actually wait for him to stop.
So they just
yell stop, and they shoot him.
This is a very realistic scene.
It turns out it was poor Father
Father O'Brien or something.
O'Brien. Who is, and then
there's something. Father Sarducci.
Yeah.
And the nun is like, oh, he's deaf, so that makes sense that he didn't stop.
You should have seen what the guy did in Bloomingdale's. Like, just,
and then and this
the,
guy, is,
the cop's just like, oh, sorry.
Mother Superior's bitching him out, and he's like, I'm sorry. He's like, at hand.
I did what I felt was necessary.
It's time for me to get the ruler out. Gonna wrap you on the knuckles.
Meanwhile, the kids who are making Frosty the Snowman are just covered in blood.
Oh, yeah. So they're splattered in blood.
They get them all inside. And so here's what's funny to me. It's like they get this over the it's not a walkie-talkie. What's it called? Like a CB radio.
Yeah, the police radio.
And he's like, the Santa was shot and killed. Ambulance is on the way. And I was like,
yeah,
wait. I actually rewinded it because I was like, wait, he was shot and killed, but they're sending an ambulance?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, why?
Mostly dead.
Send the mortician.
But they actually did say that. And I thought
they
that
do. They do because, like, the, like, technically, the cops can't pronounce someone dead.
And they did put him in an ambulance.
Oh, yeah, he's dead, though, for sure. He's totally dead.
But this guy poked him on the stick.
And so, meanwhile, officer incompetent then starts trying to find the Billy.
Right.
And there's a prolonged.
So, Simpson, he's looking for the real killer.
Yeah, there's a prolonged scene where he's hunting him.
And the nun. Mother Superior is locked inside with the kids.
With the kids.
And they're singing Christmas carols.
Yes.
And she clearly has aged because she's now in a wheelchair.
Yes. Well, we should give her credit where credit's due. Her name is Lillian Chauvin. She's been in 5,000 things.
She's the only one in this film who's done anything else.
Yes. But now she's like
she survived.
The end of her career.
Yeah. Yes. That's right.
She her last role was in 2011.
Wow.
Yeah, this movie came out in 84. She was in Friends. She was in Frasier. She was in Star Trek. She was in ER. She was in Universal Soldier. Stay tuned. Previous episode, Predator 2. And Catch Me If You Can. She's done a lot of stuff.
She's done some good stuff.
Yeah. Wow.
I think the rest of this cast.
I feel like I was hating on Mother Superior, but I feel like.
Did any of you watch Malcolm in the Middle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one where Dewey like befriends an older woman in a wheelchair and then she dies at the end of the episode while they're dancing. That was her.
Wow.
She was
alrighty.
But she, I mean,
all right, Lillian.
She was good. I will say though, she's like, you know what we're gonna sing? Deck the Halls. And like the kids are like, again, there's a child still
covered in blood
singing Deck the Halls while the while this incompetent cop is outside looking for Billy, the real Santa murderer.
Meanwhile, there's still a kid whose tongue is stuck to the flagpole. And,
that's right.
And like, meanwhile, in his old world, this junior officer is just like, dumb. Like, he's singing his own theme song. He's like, peering around in corners.
This is supposed to be like, I don't know. I guess it's supposed to be thrilling or suspenseful. But really, this is probably the most boring death
of all. It's
none of
those things, yeah.
It's incredibly dumb. Because what it should be, I mean, if this was another movie, say Halloween, where it's Loomis looking for Michael Myers because it should be one of the nuns saying, now, come out, Billy. We know you're in there, Billy. And he's having flashbacks to the nuns abusing him.
Yeah.
Right? Like
that would have been good.
That would have been good.
I'm not going to fix a 40-year-old movie here. But
instead, he gets murdered. How does he even get murdered?
I think he's...
Incredible scene. He comes in the front door. They're singing Jingle Bells.
We're talking about the officer.
I think
he gets axed and kicked down the stairs.
He goes onto a roof. He's on a roof and he sees a door move. And he's and he goes to the door and then he looks inside and then he gets axed and he very traumatically falls down the stairs.
It's the death from Psycho.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And so then anyway, a kid lets Santa into. I thought that was his brother. Like, because I was like, oh, his brother would let him in. But it wasn't his brother.
Wasn't it a girl that let him in?
I think it was a boy.
A boy? Okay.
Yeah, I think it was a boy. But so I thought that was his brother, but it wasn't. Which I only knew later when, you know. That kid.
So he's standing there. And actually, Mother Superior, she's all like, children, get behind me. She's all like,
She's taking
the heroic role.
Ready to.
I've been trying to die for years. Take me now.
Take me.
And
Jesus, take my wheels.
And she's just like sitting there defiling children behind her.
And she says, Santa is not real.
Santa, yes. I can walk.
And of course, he lifts that axe. He starts to swing it.
Super slow motion.
Super slow motion. Starts to swing it. And then blam, blam, blam. And he drops.
He goes Commissioner down.
Gordon like a punk.
The cop who's been drunk since yesterday kills him.
God, what an awful
and then thing. The nun, Sister Margaret, comes and holds him. And yeah. he says,
"You're safe, children. There is no Santa or yeah. something.
Santa's okay. gone now.
Santa's dead now. Santa's gone now. You're safe, children."
Which is terrible. He should have said ho, 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 and then died.
And then the camera pans up to a little boy, and it focuses on his face, and he says...
No, he looks at Mother Superior.
And he says, naughty.
Dun, dun, dun. And that, of course, according to the credits, is supposed to be his...
That was brother. Billy's younger brother. That was they younger never brother. They never explained that, but look at the IMDb, that's who it is.
Yeah. I mean, I just made that...
I did make that connection.
You got way more brain wrinkles than anyone else here because I did not make that. I was just like, who the fuck is this random kid? Like, the cycle continues.
Who's not? You're not.
In the next couple of movies, it's a little brother who's a killer.
Yeah.
At the end, it made sense.
But the baby wouldn't remember it.
Wow,
you guys
are so
but
smart.
But the brother
no,
created.
I looked it up.
I
had no idea until this morning.
Exactly.
I don't know. There were a lot of ways I could have resolved this in the end. I thought it was fine. Although I will say, the deaths at the end, the worst death of the movie.
They were awful. It was terrible. The whole last act was worthless.
It was definitely sort of rushed. But I
you would
admit,
prefer they have drug that out a little bit.
Well,
like,
you know, it could have been more fun running around.
Just more deaths.
I mean,
Mother Superior just unbreaks the wheelchair and just runs him over.
I mean, look. There's an old woman in a wheelchair. You missed an opportunity to push her down the steps.
And frankly,
I'm just saying. And frankly, I mean, I'm not.
I don't know why there's Catholics in Mormon country, but if there was one person who deserved to die,
it's Mother Superior. And in fact, no nuns died, and that made me very sad.
I mean, if it were me making this, Mother Superior is dead, and then the question is whether or not he's going to kill Sister Margaret.
Yep.
And then there's a standoff for half a second, and that delay is when he gets shot.
Yeah, or maybe he flinches or pauses or decides
wow, Nick,
to let
you
her
should
go.
Have done this movie.
Well, because like he kills Mother Superior, and then he has the axe and he's holding it, looking
but he's
at Sister
conflicted.
Margaret, and Margaret's like, "Don't do this."
He
Billy.
Knows she's a good person.
He does,
and then
she's
there's
a good
tension,
person.
And that moment when he stops is when he gets killed.
You're thinking, so you did fix a 40-year-old
but
baby.
You're thinking,
congratulations, Nick, you did it.
You're thinking poetically because that's where the cycle's broken and they can't have a sequel. And I mean, that
but what if there was a sequel?
But actually, we just
what if
want
there
to
were
traumatize
four
the
sequels?
You know what? What if there was twice the titties in the next one? Like.
What if the murderer had their titties out the whole movie?
But there's so many
well,
things.
There, in the fourth movie, it's like a coven of Satanist witches, so maybe they're all topless.
But how about this? He never goes down a chimney once.
That's true.
He should have.
I mean, there's no Santa cliches. There should be at least one Santa cliche.
Yeah.
That's the problem I have with this movie.
But he even if it breaks into a nativity scene and kills a reindeer.
No. What if when he kills the girl Denise. And her boyfriend and sits down and eats the milk and cookies?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be perfect.
Yeah, if he was at Denise's house, if he came in through the chimney or like he said, eat the milk and
cookies. Because all we had at the orphanage was gruel, so I want some more milk and cookies.
I mean, or just ho, ho, ho once.
naughty.
But no, this was like instead of being like Santa on a murderous rampage, we get like, you know, basically some guy working through his Catholic guilt, dressing up as Santa, going and killing people.
A lot of slasher movies are almost comedic and how violent they are. This is just tragic.
So he points at naked Denise and goes, ho, ho, ho. I'll be here all night.
Try the meatloaf.
Tip your waitresses. Dude, this movie.
Woo! Is this final thoughts time then?
Let's do final thoughts. Mr. Rose, start us off.
Woo! I saw this when I was too young to have seen this.
How old were you?
Funny you should ask. I was 11. yes.
I was 11 years old. I was at a friend's house. His parents had rented it. We decided to watch it. And we thought it was amazing. I said that the boobies were great. I was
lying.
Because this was Lynchburg, Virginia in like 1986. So take it for what you will. But
you were like, oh yes, needed more boobies.
Yes, needed more boobies. But anyway, it was a freaky movie as far as I was concerned back then. I didn't understand lots of parts of it. But it stuck with me. The Punish part, I was mentioning this to Nick. Me and my friend, for the next month or two, would just run around and like throw things at people and be like, Punish! Because we thought that was hilarious. Oh, goodness. This movie is really schlocky and has some moments of brilliance. It is problematic in that way a lot of the 80s movies are, is that it tries to lean too much into the shock factor, or it thinks that inappropriate things are funny and or acceptable, such as sexual assault, etc. If you can get past those parts, it's a delight of a movie because it is so bad, it's good.
Yeah.
I recommend it again with the warnings about the problematic aspects, but it's a good example of schlocky 80s shock fare.
Yeah.
I agree with all of that. It had its ebbs, it had its flows. It was overall not great. It had some really, really good scenes. Something no one brought up in the last hour is that the music was actually phenomenal.
Didn't notice.
It had very intrinsic creepiness to the like bleak setting, you know, being a snowy mountainous town in the middle of nowhere with, you know, creepy Christmas music. I mean, I loved it. There was some creepy scenes. The acting wasn't great, but I think we've resolved our war on Christmas, and yeah, give it a watch. It's fun.
Can you?
I think like what Charlie said before we started recording, it's engaging. There are some things that are definitely problematic. If you can get past those things and you like slasher films, give it a go. There's definitely some camp to it. If you like that kind of thing. It was okay.
Matt?
I didn't really think it was that good. It takes too long to get to the Santa killing spree, which I expected to start much earlier. Like, I thought this would be a slasher movie, the killer Santa Claus, not, you know, the tragedy of the kid who everything goes wrong on Christmas and he finally snaps.
Yeah. So I'm going to disagree with Matt. If only one of my favorite horror movies of all time is Halloween. And after the first death, it's more than an hour before the second death. This movie is, we make fun of this a lot with the action movies, especially, but like this movie just saw all the other movies. Right, like, because it references Halloween, it references Psycho, it references, like, if you've seen a horror movie before this, it probably made a nod to it because the guy who made it had no idea. The reason I like this, and I'm with Charlie on this, is it's not the boobs for boobs' sake. It's that this just feels like a schlocky nonsense horror movie. Like, this is what they are, and the problem is nowadays, and I've talked about this on other podcasts too. Post 9/11, everything has to be gritty and so self-serious. And like, this matters. This movie doesn't matter. this is like, what if we did Halloween, but with a different holiday? St. Patrick's Day? No, there's the leprechaun for that one. What if it was Baby New Year? No, that's stupid as shit.
Thanksgiving. What? Oh, sorry. Thanksgiving.
Right. Like, that's what this is. This is like, but what if Santa was kind of a prick? All right, let's do that. And it's also like, this movie isn't Catholic horror. This isn't The Exorcist or Rosemary's Baby. And yet, they're like, but what if there were nuns who were evil? Like, this movie just throws so much shit at the wall. It's kind of like, but if you like horror from the last 15 years, you'll probably like something in this. That's the reason why people still talk about it, I think. And just, I'll throw it out there. There's a book that came out a bit ago, like 18 months ago, 2021, called the Final Girl Support Group, where the woman who gets stabbed on the antlers is the main character. She survived, and now she has a support group for final girls of horror movies.
What?
And that the movies that were made are just documentaries about what happened to them. It's actually kind of fun. It's kind of cheesy. And that fits this literally to a T. Like, this is so over the top that it's kind of like a recreation on Unsolved Mysteries. Like, if at the beginning it was just, you don't realize, but what if Christmas turned dark? Like, that's what this is. And guess what? I had fun watching this. If you watch it by yourself taking notes like some of these losers here, it's not going to be as much fun as watching it with someone else.
You guys are the only ones that watched it with people.
Well, some of us have friends, Diego.
You jugular.
Just joking. I told
you. Do you want me to punish?
Look, I watched it with a friend and took notes the next day like a loser.
That's right. Anyway, we're out of time. Thanks for listening. Happy New Year if you're listening to this as it came out. And next month, I take over the whole fucking podcast, and it's going to be a Hoffamani month. And the first movie we're going to start with after New Year's is Back to the Future. And I'll give you the whole book. Who cares? Back to the Future, Terminator 2, Star Trek Generations, and Jaws. So stay tuned next month as I finally matter on the host of a podcast that I've hosted now for 9.5 years. I choose an entire month. Keep reviewing us, keep sharing us, and thanks everyone.
Myopia Movies is a podcast production of Dude Letter Podcasting and is produced by Nick Hoffman. It is edited by Ner Trinette and Daniel Suttis and is hosted by Nick Hoffman with production assistance by Matthew Quinn, Daniel Suttis, and Ner Trinette. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from incomptech.com. Licensed under the Creative Commons by Attribution 4 license, Creative Commons/licenses by /4.0. Thanks.